Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are talking about an updated filing in the Elon Musk Twitter acquisition. There are some implications for Tesla here, so we'll talk about what those are. We've also got an interesting tweet on Tesla's valuation from Elon, kind of a weird report on Elon's battle with the SEC from Reuters, updates on Giga Berlin and Indonesia, and quite a few other automaker items as well. All right, so finally, a little bit of green in the markets today. Tesla finishing up almost 5%, closing at $658.80, while the NASDAQ rose 1.5%. There is a bit of a drop here after hours that we'll talk about in a second, but the markets overall responding positively to the release of the Fed minutes, or probably more appropriately, just not as negatively as maybe was expected. Who really knows? I chuckled at CNBC's recap of this today because they said that, quote, stocks rose on Wednesday after the minutes of the Federal Reserve's May policy meeting showed the central bank is prepared to raise rates further than the market had anticipated, end quote. Yes, perfect explanation. Everybody knows that stocks love interest rate increases. Just kidding there, of course, but this one sentence from CNBC somehow encapsulated all of the silliness that goes along with market prognostication. So we won't waste too much time on that. Again, these meeting minutes are 3 weeks old, and of course a lot has changed in that period of time, so I don't think they're really all that important or relevant right now. All right, so getting into the news then, we're going to start with an update on this possible Twitter acquisition. This does affect Tesla, so that's why we're going to talk about it here. This did come out after market close, so thankfully just as I am starting to record, and the stock did seem to react negatively, Twitter reacted positively. So this is an updated 13D filing from Elon Musk. It's a pretty straightforward filing, and the section that we want to key in on reads, quote, on May 24th, 2022, the reporting person allowed the remainder of the margin loan commitments contemplated by the margin loan commitment letter to expire, at which time the margin loan commitment letter and the commitments thereunder terminated. Concurrently with the foregoing, the reporting person committed to provide an additional $6.25 billion in equity financing to fund a portion of the merger consideration by amending and restating the amended equity commitment letter dated as of May 4th, 2022, to increase the aggregate principal amount of the equity commitment thereunder to $33.5 billion, end quote. All right, so all that's new here is that the margin loan commitment, which had previously been $12.5 billion and then had been cut in half to $6.25 billion, has now been cut again by that same amount down to zero, as apparently that margin loan has now expired. So that has been replaced with equity financing, just like the first time when it was reduced. So the equity financing, which originally was $21 billion, then rose to $27.25 billion, now has risen to $33.5 billion of the roughly $46.5 billion, I think, that was committed to fund this acquisition. So to me, Twitter stock being up on this after hours seems like a miss. There's really nothing different here other than the structure of the financing. We've already seen that structure change, and then Elon has come out and been very hesitant about the deal relating to the percentage of bots. I don't really see any reason that this would change any of that recent context. Now, on Tesla's side of the equation, this does change some things. As we had talked about, that margin loan had already been reduced, so it really was low risk for Tesla or for Elon at that point. But now this completely removes any margin loan collateralized against Tesla stock from the proposed financing. So no Tesla being used as collateral. It wasn't ever being used in the first place. It was just a proposed financing. Of course, that would only happen if the deal were to close. So just like we had talked about even before the first reduction in the margin loan, something that not a lot of people were thinking about. But now that that has been eliminated, it seems pretty clear that that was always kind of a placeholder just to accelerate the speed of being able to get the offer on the table. So Tesla investors now having that risk removed should feel very good about that. However, there is still another caveat here. There is a possibility that Elon funds that additional equity financing himself, which could result in him selling additional Tesla stock. Because remember, the first time he sold, that was basically what was used to reduce the margin loan facility. Now, personally, I think that's pretty unlikely. Elon had previously said no further sales planned. Obviously, that could change, but with how Tesla stock has done since then, I doubt Elon's super eager to be selling right now. But you could apply the same logic to this Twitter deal too and say that, okay, it might be difficult for Elon to find the rest of that capital in a market where some of the liquidity has dried up and where the $54 per share offer price for Twitter looks much less attractive now than it did even just a few weeks ago. So at the end of the day, basically we know that Tesla as collateral is right now off the table. However, there are still some unanswered questions, primarily where is that additional equity financing going to come from, Elon or other investors? And then the deal in general, even though the market is reacting a little bit to this, I don't think this is really any indication of any sort of revised stance from Elon from what we have seen over the last few days. Now, this filing does say that the reporting person is seeking to find additional financing commitments, including possibly from current shareholders, but that's the same language that has been used in the previous filing, so I don't really think there's much there to read into. So that's the Twitter element, and then also after hours probably affecting Tesla a little bit as well was NVIDIA reporting earnings. I haven't done a deep dive on that or anything, but just from the initial reaction and media coverage, it looks like earnings were pretty solid. However, guidance was a little bit weaker, So as I'm recording, NVIDIA is down about 8%, and of course that's not going to help the markets or a company like Tesla. Moving on, Elon did have a little bit to say about Tesla stock today on Twitter, replying to Holmars, who had pointed out that Elon had mentioned that the stock price was too high, that he had mentioned that a recession was coming. Elon wrote, quote, "Indeed, I did. However, I also think that Tesla has the potential to be the most valuable company ever. When Tesla's market cap, making sustainable energy products, exceeds that of Aramco, producing fossil fuels, you know the future will be good for Earth," end quote. So this is not the first time Elon has suggested that Tesla could become the most valuable company in the world, but there has been a lot of clamoring over the last few days for Elon to say something a little bit more supportive about Tesla, and here it is. Saudi Aramco, by the way, is today valued as the most valuable company in the world at about $2.4 trillion, which is about 3.5 times Tesla's current market cap. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that Elon is saying that Tesla would get to that market cap level. He could be saying that Saudi Aramco would decline, but I obviously think that Tesla will eventually get to that market cap, and I think Elon probably feels pretty strongly that they will too. So anyway, should be an interesting couple of days here with the stock and with this whole Twitter stuff. We'll be back on Form 4 watch, probably for at least a couple of days. I would imagine that if Elon were trying to sell for this equity financing, he probably would have wanted to do that before the 13D came out. So maybe that was the reason for the underperformance yesterday. I guess we'll find out soon. All right, moving on from the stock, we've got kind of a weird report here from Reuters today about Elon Musk's battle with the SEC. This is one of the longest articles I've ever seen on Reuters, and it was kind of confusing, so let's go through it here. The article was titled, "In a Face-Off with Elon Musk, the SEC Blinked." Then the article leads in saying, quote, "U.S. securities regulators have pulled their punches in dealings with Elon Musk largely because an April 2019 court hearing on a statement he made about Tesla on Twitter didn't go their way, according to four sources with knowledge of the matter," end quote. So of course, we've talked about that April 2019 court hearing before. That was basically when the SEC was coming after Elon Musk for allegedly violating the settlement agreement for tweeting out something about Tesla's production without having it checked first. And the judge basically ruled and said, hey, SEC, Elon Musk, both of you need to put on your reasonableness pants. And if I recall correctly, that led to the slightly more specific settlement agreement that is still quite open to interpretation, I think. Anyway, Reuters continues on to write that quote, "In the following months, SEC officials felt Musk pushed the boundaries of the revised settlement, but were reluctant to return to court, fearing Nathan might reject their complaint and admonish them for bringing the issue back," three sources said, end quote. And for clarity, the Nathan that's referred to there, that was the judge at the time. So that's basically the extent of what Reuters is reporting, and then there's just a whole bunch of other timeline and context details, which we have already known and gone through at those times. So basically they're just saying, hey, they were hesitant to further pursue things, but then they go on to write that quote, "The sources said they are not familiar with the current thinking of the SEC, which has been under new leadership since President Joe Biden took office in January 2021. Under new chair Gary Gensler, the agency has pledged to crack down on repeated misconduct and push for tougher penalties. It recently opened more investigations into Musk, among them a probe into two of his November tweets, asking if he should sell shares in Tesla. Court documents regarding Musk's settlement with the SEC show," end quote. So basically what they're saying is that all that stuff that they mentioned about the SEC being hesitant is no longer applicable to today's SEC because it's under new management, making this whole lengthy report pretty much irrelevant for today. So with that understanding, let's move on. We've also got an update here on the status of the expansion that we had heard possibly is happening for Giga Berlin. Remember, RBB24 had previously reported that Tesla was looking at a 100-hectare expansion for Berlin near the current 300 hectares that they have. They are reporting today that Tesla has submitted an official application for this expansion, according to the mayor of Grünheide, who said that, quote, "The municipality of Grünheide has submitted an application to initiate a B plan procedure in the immediate vicinity of the current 300 hectares to get to a big B plan," end quote. RBB says that B plan means development plan in this context, so just saying that Tesla has submitted an application to initiate a development plan procedure. RBB says that as early as June 2nd, Grünheide should deal with the application. And they also report that the mayor assumes the majority of the main committee members of the municipal council will recommend initiating the development plan process. Then there's a bit of a weird translation to close out the article. It says, quote, "He does not expect the result of the weighing process and a possible resolution on the articles of association to be reached in just under a year at the earliest," end quote. So not exactly sure what that means, considering the earlier part of the article said that they should deal with the application as early as June 2nd, but maybe we can get some help from our German listeners in the comments on that last bit. All right, sticking in Europe, we also have a report here today from Drive Tesla Canada that some deliveries in the EU are being temporarily delayed pending an autopilot-related software update. So apparently this is happening for orders that have enhanced autopilot or the full self-driving option. Numerous customers with those options reporting last-second rescheduling. temporarily disabling the feature that will automatically exit off highways with Navigate on Autopilot on, which apparently, I guess, violates current EU regulations. So we'll have to keep an eye out for a little bit more information on this, but obviously that could affect more than just new deliveries. I know the EU regulations have been more restrictive on Autopilot, and I know Tesla has been working to hopefully get some of those things adjusted, but for now it appears like more limits in place. Admittedly, I don't have great context on this, so if I'm missing something there, please let me know. All right, moving on, we've got an update on Tesla and Indonesia. Remember, we had previously talked about some reporting that maybe Tesla was agreeing to build a factory there. As I said at the time, those are probably premature, and I still think that is the case. Today, we have new comments reported on by Tesla Roddy from the Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs and Investment for Indonesia, who at a seminar today was discussing the negotiations with Tesla and specifically where a possible factory could be located. He said, quote, "This is one part of my negotiations with Tesla. Tesla is not an easy negotiation. I said, Elon, if you want to get end-to-end, get a green battery product, get a green car product, this is the place to be," end quote. So a couple thoughts on that. He is talking about an end-to-end factory, so that's kind of interesting. And then second, he is talking about negotiations in the present tense. Obviously, there could be translation stuff happening here, but that with some of the other context really doesn't make it sound like it's a done deal quite yet. But at least it seems very clear that there is pretty strong interest and consideration from both sides. All right, next we've got a few quick updates on other automakers. We'll start with Volkswagen. Automotive News Today reporting that the North American Dealer Association and several state dealership associations are reaching out to Volkswagen to get some assurances on their plans for the Scout brand, which they recently announced would be housing the planned EV pickup and EV SUV for North America, I think for 2026. And dealers are looking for answers from Volkswagen on how they plan to retail those vehicles. So just kind of an interesting report and highlights some of the challenges that companies like Volkswagen have and navigating and appeasing that additional stakeholder in their business. So kind of interesting there. And then the other update on Volkswagen is that today they have agreed to a £193 million settlement in England and Wales for 91,000 customers relating to the Dieselgate scandal. We actually got similar news on Fiat Chrysler today in the US as well. Now Stellantis, of course. They have agreed to a guilty plea and to pay roughly $300 million in penalties for emissions-related misconduct. So for the scale of both of these companies, not huge penalties, but certainly have not been the first and perhaps not the last either. A couple other quick ones here. We've got an update from Lucid. They have announced a recall of just over 1,100 vehicles. So most of the vehicles they have produced over a display wiring harness, which may not be properly secured, which could possibly disable the screens. Then we've also got an update on Apple. Bloomberg reporting that one of the managers for Apple's car project, actually CJ Moore, who's a former director of Autopilot at Tesla, has left Apple after just under a year to go to Luminar. So it seems to be some continuing cycling turnover there for Apple. Bloomberg saying that over the last 2 years, nearly the entire Apple car management team has left. All right, last item for today then is another quick update on Starlink. In a new FCC filing, SpaceX has disclosed that Starlink now has over 400,000 subscribers worldwide. That represents just over $500 million in annual recurring revenue. And probably the most interesting detail is that just about 2 months ago, they had announced 250,000 subscribers. So roughly adding 75,000 a month over the last 2 months. If SpaceX kind of maintains that level of growth, which seems to be limited by production of the actual hardware, that would get them to just over 900,000 subscribers by the end of the year. That, of course, would be just over $1 billion in annual recurring revenue. So very quickly here, Starlink starting to become a very big, possibly billion-dollar business by the end of the year, which is very exciting to see. But that will wrap it up for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. Also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, May 26th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.